Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Tonight, I'd like to do a little topical kind of thing and called the message Preparing for Christmas. And I know that at least in our lives, my wife and I, that preparing for Christmas is nothing like it used to be. Whenever we had three little guys running around our house, or medium-sized guys, or big guys, whatever we had at that point in time, running around getting Christmas presents for them and going to Christmas programs. And I don't think we ever had any Christmas parades in our area. Some of them got involved in a puppet thing that they would do for Christmas, presenting the gospel at a little fair that wasn't too far away. But there was always, you know, a whole mess of things that were going on, Christmas parties and those kinds of things. And so it's a little bit different now for us than it was years gone by. But this morning, this evening, whenever I talk about preparing for Christmas, I'd like to talk about a special fellow who God sent to prepare the way, get ready for that very first Christmas, whenever the Lord Jesus came to this earth. And so in John chapter 1, we see just a little glimpse of, and in a larger section of Scripture, talking about this one who God prepared to be the forerunner, or preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And his name is John the Baptist. And most of us are probably familiar with John the Baptist. And in fact, I even heard one time that a fellow went to over to Rome, and he said he went to one church, and they had relics in this Catholic church in Rome, and he went in there, and there was a skull there, and they said that's the skull of John the Baptist. And so he went to another one, and I don't know if it was in the same city or whatever. Went to the relics place again, and here's another skull, and he said it was John the Baptist. And this one was bigger than the other one, and the guy asked question, and he said, "Well, you know, I thought I saw John the Baptist's skull." He said, "Well, the skull at the other church—that's whenever he was younger." So anyhow. Lost track of where I was on the stories of John the Baptist. No, John chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And we know he's referring here to John the Baptist. He said he's the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Okay, the purpose in John the Baptist coming was he was coming to bear witness of the light, this one who is going to be coming. And we'll talk a little bit more about the things that were involved in his ministry, the things that he did, the things that he presented, the things that he preached. But his purpose in coming was to bear witness of the light. And it says that all men through him might believe. And again, it's not through John the Baptist that everyone would believe, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the purpose of John the Baptist in coming was to make the way, get prepared. Verse number 18, he says, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And in the text, he tells us here that, you know, the purpose of John the Baptist coming was not so that he could be the light, but he was the forerunner. He was the one who was coming to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And we're familiar with the story in Luke and how the angel came and talked to Zacharias about how his wife was going to have a son and his name was going to be John, and all the things that relate to that. And so, you know, John the Baptist had a supernatural birth, and the fact that his folks were old, his folks hadn't been able to have children, and yet John was born, and his purpose was come. His purpose in coming was to prepare the way, get ready for this first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know that the nation of Israel had been waiting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for this one who was going to be the Messiah to come. And there were prophecies about him coming, and also a prophecy about this one called the one who is going to prepare the way, prophecy of him coming in Isaiah chapter 40. And so he says he's not the light, but his purpose in coming was to bear witness or prepare the way for the light. Now, jump over, if you would, into chapter 1 and verse 15, and we get a little bit more of a feel for this this man, John the Baptist, and the things that he did. Verse 1 and verse 15, it says, "And John bore witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he is before me. And he is the full, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you?" Now, again, we need to stop and think about the fact that here was John the Baptist, and John the Baptist wasn't preaching the standard message that all the other Jews were talking about. He is now calling the nation of Israel to repentance for their sins, their ungodliness, their unrighteousness, and multitudes of people are coming to hear what John the Baptist has to say, and John the Baptist was baptizing them into unto a baptism of repentance. Not the same baptism that we talk about whenever we're talking about being baptized after salvation, but the idea of being baptized is to say that I'm recognizing my sinfulness. I'm following after this one who is doing the baptism, because he is the one who is leading us. He is the one who is directing us. And so the priests and the Levites, they went from Jerusalem and they asked him, "Well, who are you? You know, who gives you authority to do this? To do this kind of thing? Why is it that these people are coming to you?" He says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed. He said, "I am not the Christ." Because one of the things that people would think, if people were coming to follow after him, if people were coming to repent and to be baptized, that this must be the Christ, this must be the Messiah, this must be the one that we're looking for, this must be the one that we're waiting for. And he said, "I'm not the Christ." Now again, whenever you see the word Christ, it's not talking about Jesus' name. He's talking about the Anointed One. He's talking about the Messiah. He's saying to them, "I am not the Messiah. I am not the Anointed One. I'm not the one that the nation of Israel has been waiting for." He said, "I'm not the Christ." And they ask him and says, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he said, "No." Then they said unto him, "Who art thou, that we may answer them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" Now, why would he ask for Elijah? Because there was a prophecy in the Old Testament about one who is going to be coming like Elijah. There's a prophecy. Why would he say, "Are you that prophet?" Because again, there's another prophecy, I believe in the book of Numbers or Deuteronomy, that talks about there's going to be a prophet similar to or like Moses who is going to come. And so, these people knew their Old Testament, and they're asking these questions and asking him, what's going on here? It says, and so they finally said, "Well, what do you say about yourself? Who are you?" Verse 23, and he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." We're not going to turn over to Isaiah right now, but if you want to look at it, it's Isaiah chapter 40, talks about this one who is coming to make way the way of the Lord, or to make straight the way of the Lord. And he's saying, that's who I am. I'm this one who has been prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40, that I came to prophesy of one coming of the Lord. And they who were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if now not be the Christ, nor Elijah, nor that prophet?" And John answered and said unto him, "I baptize with water, but there one standeth among you whom you know not. He who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so he says, there's one who's standing among you, and he is preferred before me. And so John is saying, the Messiah, the one that I'm making my, making the way straight, the one who I'm preparing. He's already amongst us. He's here already. And he said, I'm preparing the way for him to come. And so he said he wasn't a prophet. He wasn't John. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't Elijah. The Messiah, but he was the one who was preparing. He was the one who was getting ready. So here's John. He was a man who has been sent by God. Okay, and you just stop and think about that, the responsibility that was upon the shoulders of John to do what God wanted him to do, prepare the way of the Lord at the coming of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's this John, we call him John the Baptist, who was sent by God to do these things. Now, jump over, if you would, to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, we see an incredible event that takes place in Matthew chapter 3, talking about where Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. Okay, Matthew chapter 3, and let's start reading in verse 1. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, what did he mean when he talked about the kingdom of heaven? Well, he's talking about the fact that, you know, the king is coming. The king is at hand. The king has already been born. The king is already here on this earth. And so the kingdom of heaven, and again, probably John's thinking was that, you know, the Lord Jesus was going to set up his kingdom there on earth. And so the kingdom was at hand. And so he said, repent. You know, you need to turn from your sinful, wicked ways and follow after God and deal with the issues and transgressions that you have and walk with God the way you should walk with God. And so he's calling them for repentance. Verse number 3, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' For the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey." I don't know if you ever thought about that. But, you know, here's a man who, is not a man of means, not a man of greatness, not a man of royalty, but just, a regular man that God has called to this, to this ministry of preparing the way of the Lord. You know, you look the way he's, dressed and looked at the fact that the food that he ate and, those kinds of things. But he would definitely be, if he were to walk through the door tonight, we would say, "Wow, where did you come from? Right? What kind of a guy are you?" And possibly in the same situation there that he didn't look like everybody else, didn't act like everyone else, but they recognized him that he was the one who had been sent from God. He was the one again fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah 40 of making the path straight, leading for the Lord. Verse 5 says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jerusalem, about Jordan, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And a multitude of people went out, from all these different areas, listening to the preaching of John the Baptist and confessing their sins and turning from those things and following after, the teaching of John the Baptist that, beware, get ready, because this one who is the king, he is coming. This one who is the king, he is very near. This one who is the king, he's going to reveal himself soon. And are you ready for him to be revealed? The same idea. This morning Arnie was talking about the rapture of the church. And, whenever we think about the rapture of the church, what do we think about? We think about, here's the blessed hope that, at any moment of any second, the Lord could return and take us off to glory with him. Now, what do we want to find? How do we want the Lord to find us as if he were to come back now or tomorrow or the next day. We want to find us, find ourselves ready and prepared and, not walking in ungodliness or righteousness because, we're waiting for this one who is the king to come back and take us in the rapture. And the same thing here that John's saying, he's saying, get ready because, he's right here. He's walking around the earth right now. So you be ready because he's going to reveal himself. You don't want to find yourself. So here were the people where they were confessing their sins. They were seeking to get right with God. And then once John began to reveal who Jesus was, many people would follow after Christ because of this preparation that John the Baptist has been making. Verse number 7, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned thee to flee from the wrath to come? Now just think about that for a second. There's some good preaching, right? People come to hear you and say, hey, we got the unrighteous, the ungodly, the sinners, the snakes of Judaism. You're right here among us. And you can see where they would be excited about hearing that and say, oh, yeah, that's just what I wanted. Somebody to tell me that I'm a snake. I'm a viper. And he says, who has warned thee to flee from the wrath that is going to come? He says, bring forth, therefore, fruits befitting repentance. Begin to repent of these sins. Begin to change your life. Fruits of the benefit or show that you're repenting would be, humility and the idea of, longing for righteousness, those kinds of things. Verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Don't think that just because you came from the lineage of Abraham, just because you're a Jew, that you're going to be okay. Don't think that. Notice what he says about that. He says, we have Abraham as our father, for I say unto you that Abraham is out of these stones, God is able out of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And again, just think about that for a second. God could say to the stones, stones, stand up and be human beings and be children of Abraham. God would speak and those kind of things would happen. And so he's calling them to do what? He's calling them to repentance. He's calling them to change their attitude, their life, the things that they're involved in. Verse 10 says, now, also, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What's he saying? He's saying, be ready. Judgment is at hand. Be ready because, God is going to not only bring in the kingdom of heaven, but he's going to judge the unrighteous and the ungodly. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He can baptize you. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And again, how neat that ties in with what we talked about this morning. Remember, we talked this morning about the idea of that, we're not ones that are circumcised in an outward way, but we are circumcised in the heart and we have a spiritual relationship with God. And that's what he's saying here. This one who comes, he's not going to just, start another church. He's not going to start another temple. He's not going to start another, religious thing. What he's going to do, he's going to baptize you. You're going to change your life around because you're going to be baptized. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to come and actually live right inside of you. And then your life is going to be a change. You're going to be a new creature in Christ. You're going to be born from above. It's going to be altogether different. And so he's telling him, this is what's going to happen. The baptism that I'm going to give you is a baptism unto repentance, but the one who is coming later, he's going to baptize you in the Spirit and thus into eternal life. Verse 12, he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the granary, but will burn the chaff in the unquenchable fire. Not only are some are going to be given this spiritual birth, but there are other people that are going to be put into condemnation, damnation. The unquenchable fire is going to burn in their hearts and in their lives, actually physically burn them forever and ever, is what he's saying. So, the choice, and he's saying, the choice, where are you going to fall? What are you going to do? Verse 13, so he preaches this wonderful thing to the message of repentance to the people that came, and especially the scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 13, he says, then came Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized. Now, we don't know how much time there is before this message and the coming of Christ. It could be that, you know, as soon as he got done with message, you know, here comes Jesus. He says, Jesus came to be baptized. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? Now, just think about that for a second. You know, here comes, you know, the Lord Jesus, and he's saying to John the Baptist, you know, baptize me. I want to be baptized. I want to be associated with your baptism of repentance. And I want to authenticate the fact that what you're doing is really from God. And I want people to recognize, you know, who I am and who you are and what working God is going to do here. And John says, whoa, no. I need to be baptized by you. You know, talking about the baptism of the Spirit, talking about being baptized as being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus answering said unto him, permit it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented unto him. Okay, what's he saying there? He's saying, let me, you know, you go ahead and baptize me to fulfill all righteousness is the idea of, you know, the righteousness has the idea of the standards and the directives of God. He said, we're going to fulfill the righteousness. You know, this is God's plan for me to come here today and to be baptized by you so that people would recognize who you are. People could recognize who I am. People could see that righteousness is being fulfilled right before their very eyes. And so John then consented to him and said, okay, I will do that. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There are several things in all of history that I would like to have been there to witness, and this is one of them. Here's Jesus walking out of the water, out of the Jordan River, the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Now, I don't know what that exactly would look like, but, you know, picture in your mind what you'd think. You know, I think of little doves, you know, about yay big, and comes down and lands on his shoulder. And, you know, who knows? It could be a gigantic dove that just sort of hovered over him. You know, I don't know how that all fits in, but, you know, that's just my mind's picture. And he's walking out of there. So we have Jesus, the Son of God. We have the dove, the Spirit of God. And then we have the voice from heaven. Okay, now just think about this for a second. He says, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Again, just how amazing that would be to hear the voice of God speaking out of heaven at this moment in time. And all of the people around saw what? The three persons of the Trinity right there in one situation. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God, and heard the voice of God the Father at that moment. And I just sort of gives you the chills whenever you stop and think about what took place at that point in time. But again, here's John the Baptist doing what? He is the one who has baptized the Lord Jesus Christ and that tremendous ministry that he had. Now, let's go on back to John chapter 1 again and learn some more about John the Baptist and his ministry. Okay. What did he do in John chapter 1? In John chapter 1, he revealed who the Lord was. Okay, John chapter 1. Now we're going to jump down to verse number 29. We already talked about the people that came to him and they talked to him. And so it says that in verse 28, it says, these things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, he said this, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, or who takes away, the sins of the world. Now you talk about a sentence that is full of meaning. That's one right there. He said, behold, look at. You know, and whether he's, you know, Jesus, you know, was walking by, whether he pointed it out or just said, you know, behold the Son of God, whether this is, exactly the setting of the whole thing, how it worked out. But apparently, you know, people would understand who he was talking about. But he says, behold the Lamb of God. Okay. Now, again, you go clear back to Genesis And you remember chapter 22, where God talked about sacrificing Isaac, and the statement there was made, you know, God will provide himself a lamb. And here is the lamb that God has provided himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, behold, the Lamb of God. And what does the Lamb of God do? Not just atone for sin, but he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You know, his death on the cross is going to be the payment for, is going to be the propitiation for all the sins of mankind, all the sins of people in the world, okay? Now, obviously, you have to receive that forgiveness of sins. It just doesn't cover everybody, but here is going to be the payment is made in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, behold the Lamb of God who is taking away the sins of the world. Verse 30 says, this is he whom I have said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Okay, what's he saying? He's saying, you know, this one, this is the one I've been talking about. This is the one I've been preaching about. This is the one I've been telling you about. You know, the kingdom of God is at hand because here comes the king. Now, again, the people that were there that have heard the preaching, the people that were there that had been listening to the message of John, you know, they might have been a little bit taken back and said, him? He just looks like everybody else. Him? We would never notice him in the crowd. Him? He just came from, he came from Nazareth. We know where he grew up. You know, we know his, we know his family. You know, what's so special about him? Because usually when you think of a king, what do you think about? You know, somebody in all the, you know, royal clothes and, have people there to look after him and all those kinds of things. And here we have Jesus just looking like a normal person. But he says, this is whom I have said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me because he was before me. He said, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water. I knew that he needed to be manifested. Everybody in Israel needed to know about him. Everybody in Israel needed to hear about him. And so here I am. I'm coming preaching about him. I'm coming baptizing with water. You know, repent because the king is coming. It says, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Again, several different things in this these couple of verses that I read. John is saying, I knew him not. You know, I didn't know who he was. Now, isn't it interesting that if you go back to the account of in Luke, where it talks about Jesus was already conceived in Mary, and John was already conceived in Elizabeth, and Elizabeth and Mary got together, and it talks about how the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped when it was in the presence of the Lord Jesus. So there was a meeting of some sort, even though if you're in one womb and somebody else in the other womb, it's hard to recognize them at that point in time. You know, it's a little bit difficult. But, you know, the idea is that, there was an interaction that had taken place clear back before they were born. And again, you stop and think about that in relation to your pro-life position, and you say to yourself, wow, here is, one fetus, if that's what you'd call it. I certainly wouldn't. I would call it a baby. But one fetus recognizing another so that there's a reaction. You know, we're talking about the things of God here. But he said, I didn't know him. So apparently it seems like that through life, that John the Baptist and Jesus, as they were, growing up, that they had never come in contact with or didn't know one another, because he said, I didn't know him, but he should be made manifest. And so John said, John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven, and a dove abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me, okay, he that sent me to baptize, talking about God, the same said unto me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. okay? So John is, you know, he's saying, you know, God told me that, you know, I see this one who I gets baptized and I see the Spirit of God descending upon him. He said, I know, that's the one. He's the one I'm looking for. And he said, I saw that taking place. And we just read through that in Matthew chapter 4. I saw that taking place. And he says, and he's the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Verse 34, he says, I saw and bore witness of what? He is the Son of God. Now, we need to always remember that whenever we see this idea of Son of God, when it's speaking about Jesus in the Bible, he's not talking about, you know, God the Father's up here and God the Son's down here. He's talking about God the Father and God the Son are the same nature, the same person, the same attributes, the same characteristics, co-equal, co-eternal, all of those attributes and characteristics. You know, we're talking about, you know, him being a son. You know, we many times when we think about a father-son relationship, we think about, you know, the father and he has a son, you know, somebody who is little. But as that son grows up, pretty soon, what's the father doing? The father is looking up to the son because the son is, you know, matured and grown and he's just as much a man as the father is. And that's the idea. That's the concept that we have here, that it's not a father and a little boy, but we're talking about two people that are co-equal and co-eternal. And so he's making this declaration, okay? John the Baptist, who was, raised as a Jewish young man, he says, I saw him and bore witness that this is the Son of God. This is God himself. He's making that declaration to the people that were there. Not only is this the Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world, but also this is the Son of God. This is God himself who is here. So we saw that, you know, John the Baptist is what? He was sent from God. He baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he revealed who he was. Now, one more passage. Turn over to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, we recognize or we see something about John's character. And this is the fact that John understands who he is. John understands his responsibility. John understands what his calling in life was. Okay. Again, he had said to them, he had preached to them, he had talked to them, he had told them, he said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the prophet. I'm not the Elijah. He said, I'm the one who's the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40. You know, I'm making the way of one coming into the, going through the wilderness. I'm making the path straight. I'm preparing the way to the Lord. I'm getting ready to, for the Messiah to come. And so he says, he recognizes who he is. He knew his place. Let's start reading in chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and they were baptizing. And for John was not yet cast into prison. Okay, so we see here was apparently in a relatively close proximity to one another. Here were people that were putting their faith and trust in Jesus, and they were getting baptized. John was still preaching his baptism of repentance, and people were getting baptized by John. Verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John, and they said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized, and all men are come to him. Now, again, think about this in a different way. You know, here we are, church, all members of Church X, you know, down here, and here's all these people in Church Y down here, and, all the people in town, they're going down to Church Y for some reason, and all the people back here at Church X say, well, you know, wonder what's going on here that, you know, the people aren't coming to our church. You know, why aren't they part of our church? Why aren't they part of our ministry and doing the things we want to do? Why is everybody going down to church? Why? Okay. You know, just natural, mentality of people that, why aren't people coming here to be with us? Is there something wrong with us? And so they're asking them the question, what's going on here? There's all these people, the one that you baptized, now they're all coming to him. So John answered the question, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given to him from heaven. Okay? Beautiful words there when you stop and think about it. The reason that people were coming to John the Baptist is not because John the Baptist was the best preacher that there ever was, right? He said, you know, God is working in people's hearts. God is working in people's lives. God is, you know, doing this great revival. God is calling those, you know, those people. God is doing a ministry in their life. And he's saying, you know, they came to me because, you know, God gave them to me. You know, God allowed me to be a part of that that ministry. Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He said, you guys remember from the very beginning, what did I say? I said, I'm not the Christ. I'm the one who's leading the way. I'm the one who's preparing the path. I'm the one that's getting things ready for the time that Christ comes so that people, whenever they see Christ coming, they'll respond to him. They'll hear what he has to say, and they'll have already repented of their sins, and they'll have a great desire to follow after him and be involved in righteousness and godliness and right living. And so I'm just, you know, that's what I said right from the very beginning. You guys remember that, right? Verse 29. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. Well, there's some good revelation, right? He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. For this is my joy, therefore, fulfilled. Okay, now think about it for a second. You know, here's John saying what? John's saying, I'm not the bride. Or I'm not the groom here in this situation. I'm not the one who is getting a wife. But I'm the one who is standing off to the side, excited about and cheering on the fact that, you know, my one who I've been love and one who I cherish, the one who I recognize as being the Lamb of God, he is receiving a bride. And I'm excited. Yay! Isn't that awesome? Okay? Because best men don't step back and say, boy, wish I was marrying that woman. That's awful that he got her and I didn't get her. You know, that's not the attitude that a best man has. But he says, the one who hears him, he rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I'm so excited. I'm blessed. I feel like I have been a success in life. I feel like I have accomplished what I need to accomplish because they're coming to Jesus. People are going to him and they're following him. People are turning away from even from me and the baptism that I'm involved in, and they're following after him. And then he says these beautiful words in verse 30. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Well, you don't hear very many people say that, do you? Most of us want to increase and be better and greater and all of those kind of things. But John the Baptist didn't say that because he knew his place. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew what God had called him to do. And I believe that there's nothing better in life than to know what God has called you to do and to be able to do it and see fruit that God produces because of God using you. I mean, no matter what the ministry is, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, being a Sunday school teacher or an evangelist or a deacon or a pastor or, you know, whatever the ministry is that God has called you to, you know, whether you're have the gift of helps or administration, to recognize the gift that God has given to you and fulfill that gift and see fruit, see godly things happen because of your work of ministry, then here's the apostle, here's John saying what? Wow, isn't it great? He is increasing. There's more people that are following him. And I'm just going to, you know, sort of sleek off to the side here because from now on, it's not about me. It's all about him. It's not about what I'm going to accomplish and who's going to follow after me and who's going to listen to my preaching. We want everybody to go to him and hear what he has to say and the things that he has done. So we see that God sent this man, John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord, that he baptized the Lord Jesus and many other people. He revealed the Messiah to the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And then he knew his place. What was his place? His place was to go off the scene because his work was done. Now, I'm going to propose tonight that you and I are just like John the Baptist. What? What do you mean, just like John the Baptist? I could never be like John the Baptist. I don't have a leather belt, and I don't have any camel hair to wear at all, and you're not going to get me to eat any locusts, I'll tell you that. Okay? I'll tell you why I think that we are like John the Baptist. And in our preparation for the coming of the incarnation that we're going to celebrate in just a couple of weeks, this is the way that I believe that we're like John the Baptist. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, you remember the first thing that we said about John the Baptist is he was sent from God. Right? John chapter 1, there was a man who was sent from God. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, we find out something really interesting and probably common knowledge to all of us in this room, but maybe not. Let's point it out. He says in Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We beg you," and Christ said, "to be reconciled to God." God has called us to be what? His ambassadors, his representatives, his light unto the world, if we can put it in a different way. That God has called us to that ministry, that we are ambassadors. And who is sending us out? It's the Lord who is sending us out so that we would beg people, we would pray people, we would encourage people, we would seek in every way possible for them to be reconciled to God. You need to be saved. And in that, it's pointing out their need for repentance. It's pointing out their lostness, their need for a Savior. And so in many ways, when we think about, the fact that, don't have a Bible verse about us back in the book of Isaiah that says we're the one that's making the way straight for the coming of the Lord. We, on the other hand, are that body of believers that God has called to do what? Tell other people about Christ. They're lost, on their way to hell, and they need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, Matthew chapter 28, if you would. Not only was John sent from God, but he preached, and what did people do? He says that he baptized those people unto a baptism of repentance. The Great Commission in John chapter 28, notice what he says. In verse 19, speaking to his disciples, speaking to all of us who are disciples after this, he says what? Verse 18. "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What's he saying? He's saying, in this going out as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a purpose in doing this. We teach people about the salvation that they can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever they repent of their sins and whenever they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, what do? We baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we disciple them. We help them to grow in the things of God. Now, I know it's a little bit different than what John the Baptist is, but the same kind of same thought here is that we help people to become fruitful disciple-making Christians of their own. We help them to grow in their relationship with God and help them to know Christ. We know that not only did John baptize, but he also revealed the Lord Jesus Christ, who he was. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Mark. So he was sent by God. He was sent to baptize. And in Mark chapter 16, we call this the Great Commission in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he says this. He said unto them, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell people who Jesus is. Tell people what Christ has done. Tell people how he loved them and wants them to have this wonderful gift of everlasting life." And so we, in the spirit of John, we recognize that John went out as was went out from God, that he was baptizing and helping people in their repentance to God, that he also was one who revealed the Lord, revealed Jesus, and we need to reveal Christ. And the last one is that John knew his place. And I would say that you and I need to be in the same mindset as John the Baptist when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. And if there's anything that we wrestle with, strive with, fight with in our mind and in the way we act and live, is for us to make Christ greater, magnify him. If you remember back a couple of, it's been a couple of months ago, whenever we were in the book of Philippians, turn over there if you would again, please. Philippians chapter 1, we talked about a verse in the first part of Philippians. And chapter Philippians 1:20, it says this. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And that's what John the Baptist was saying. He must increase. We need to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in our life so that people can see a walking testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And so as we prepare for Christmas, we prepare for the first incarnation of Christ or the celebration of the first incarnation of Christ, we need to recognize that we're a lot like John the Baptist in what we have been called to do. We have been called to show forth who the Lord Jesus Christ is because we have been sent by God. We have this message of salvation to tell people. We need to help them to grow in their relationship with God. And we do this, one of the ways we do this is with our mouth proclaiming the gospel and also by the way that we live our life, that it's a testimony to who Jesus is. And you know, the thing that always amazes me is that when we think about this, this great calling that God has put upon our lives, that he has put this great calling upon the lives of people like you and I who struggle and we wrestle. We have trouble with sin and we, have issues with pride and, we just have things going on in our life. But yet God has given us this great calling in our lives, and it just goes to show that we can't do this on our own. We need to do what? Walk by faith, trust that God is going to live through us, work in us, so that we can be that testimony that Jesus wants us to be. Let's pray together. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, we realize the seriousness of the calling that you have put upon our lives. That, Father, you just didn't call us to sit and soak and sour over what's going on in life, but you have called us and given us a purpose of spreading the good news of Jesus to the people that are around us. And we thank you, God, for giving us that calling, and I pray that you'd help us each and every day to live up to it. And God, whenever we fail, we fall short, we do the wrong thing, help us, God, to just confess that sin and get up and keep moving on for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thanks for coming tonight. God bless you. You are dismissed.